Let's do it.
Okay, we are live. Welcome to Elevate Today podcast. Today, I'm actually with my best friend's twin brother. And after knowing him, he's just one of the like fascinatingest persons ever. Like, I'd say you're one of the people where your third eye is just open. You're always in a deep conversation, in a deep thought process. And I've learned more about you through Annie and just like being around your family. And so I was like, dang, let's do it. And you were so much more down to start a podcast before Annie was. I thought that was interesting.
Had to call her out.
Yeah, I'm like, let's do it. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Praneet Pablo. Like she said, I'm Annie's twin brother. I'm currently in school for economics. And yeah, I just like to like think and talk about interesting stuff.
Yeah, that's so true. So that's one thing I wanted to start off talking about is the Punjabi culture.
Okay.
Like, pretty much just like learning from Annie and just her life stories. You guys being Punjabi is really like set apart from like the American lifestyle, the American way. Even from like going to school with all these lunches, different lunches, you know, that your mom's packed and stuff like that. So what has your experience been, like, from your observation comparing different cultures? Because you guys are very rich in culture, but you're also so balanced in your American way.
Yeah. It's definitely difficult because you grow up that way. You want to, like, fully embody it at all times because that's what feels right. But, like say when you go to school or, like, when you're with friends, like, you're worried about judgment from them. Because American culture, we're in America, so like that culture is, you know, the dominant one, at least portrayed as. So it's difficult. It's like you get like embarrassed a lot, I'd say, and like even if it's like most of the time it's not even fair to be embarrassed, but obviously like embarrassment comes like from within, regardless of like, you know, mostly from your insecurities, I'd say. So I guess you develop like this insecurity of not like feeling like fully integrated into American culture. But even though you feel like you are and you feel like you're integrated into Punjabi culture, but you want like both.
Yeah.
And it's like it's hard to get both because like family doesn't really, you know, there's a line, so family doesn't really cross over a lot, and friends, like very few friends like cross over to where you can fully be comfortable with them. I've had a few, thankfully, but like most of my friends, like I like wouldn't invite to my house. Like we just go out, and like when I like get like, you know, the 10 PM phone calls, like come home right now.
Yeah.
like they'd be like, what the heck? Like, then you'd show. I'm like, that's just how it is. Like, definitely the like sense of like the family's a unit, right? In America it's kinda like individuals. Like the family is comprised of individuals.
Yeah.
And in Punjabi culture it's like you're one unit. And, like, that's fair. Like, there's so many people in India. A lot of them are in poverty. So not everyone can just be doing their own thing. Like, if you're born into a family, most likely you're going to carry on what they do. Yeah, it is difficult. I feel like as you get older, you start to, like, well, it depends on you, obviously, but you start to wean out, like, the factors of people that are causing you to, like, have this, like, separation. Yeah. And like you, like as an adult you have to work on creating a balance with things, right? And then, like for minorities and Punjabis, like that's a little bit harder because of that divide, but it's just something you have to deal with, I guess, you know.
Yeah. Do you want to maintain a lot of the cultural habits when you have your own family?
See, that's, I don't know, I think about that sometimes because I would want to preserve the culture because that is still like my culture. But then looking back at like when I was growing up, I didn't like a lot of those things, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, shoot. But I think I like take out my emotions from the past when it comes to those things. At least for like certain things. Like some of them, I feel like, I think a portrayal is a big part of it. How they're portrayed to you. Like say for my family, like the culture and religion that was portrayed to us, like it wasn't done in a way to like really get us into it. It was more like putting it on us, you know, so like we kind of rejected it because of that. But if you like make it like interesting and like fun to do, especially at the start, like then they'll want to like they want to keep it up themselves instead of having to force them, which is a lot more powerful.
Yeah, and I feel like you really have the option to go either way. Like, you can have a family and raise them super Americanized, like, no cultural habits, or go all extreme Punjabi, but you get to really play with the balance.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Are you going to want your kids to have an arranged marriage?
If they want. For arranged marriage, I feel like... So in India, arranged marriages were done, a lot of them were like financial decisions, right? Because everyone is in poverty. There's like certain families that have a bit more. Mm-hmm. People in the village would want to get married into one of those families because there's a dowry and all that, the connection. Here, arranged marriages still happen. I think it's more, it also is a as any marriage, there's a financial like factor to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more like out of the tradition of it. Than like actually needing a necessary necessity of it, because I feel like, I don't know, like cities are a lot bigger than these little villages, you know, like
that's
you
so
have
true.
Options
but. Yeah, okay, so there's arranged marriage, but there's also staying within the Punjabi culture, so I feel like, so you're not doing an arranged one. None of your siblings are.
Yeah, I feel like people who do get arranged marriages, sorry to add this, like I feel like a lot of them have kind of, like, they chose, like, the family route versus, like, you know, that line? They chose one side of
the
family.
Line or Punjabi.
And then, like, the family kind of, like, it's a lot of, like, keeping them, like, stuck in it. Like, the family will, like, try to keep them stuck in it and not let, you know, like, get them deeper and deeper to where they can control their lives, pretty much. Because it is, like, all about, like, control. Like, how your kids are seen in, like, America versus, like, I'd say, like, a lot of other countries. It's like parents feel more ownership over their children than like traditional American parents do.
It's like weird because as much as it's good to have that balance, it seems like the cultured way is the winning way right now. Because you're right, like the American style, it's all individual. You go through life, you grow up, and as soon as you're 18, you like figure it out on your own. Like tough love, good luck. I hope you can do it. But from my awareness in the Punjabi culture, it's like... like, you know, you grow up very close, kind of strict, a lot of rules, do's and don'ts. And then you go to college and your parents really, like, support you during that journey and just, but take your, like, make sure you're studying, make sure you're getting good grades, like, during that college season. And they're kind of, like, sticking by that journey until you have a job that can really take care of you.
Yeah.
And when I see that, I'm like, that's exactly the purpose of college, to set you up for a good career, which it seems like the parents are very involved in doing.
Yeah.
But then again, that can still be controlling because you could feel like you don't have your freedom.
Exactly. Yeah, college is a huge like thing, probably for a lot of minorities, for Punjabis too. Because like you are like, say for me, like my parents were very controlling in high school. Like obviously as the years went on, they got a little bit less because we'd like rebel a bit. Then it'd be like this like, you know, kind of like chaos for a bit, and then they'd like readjust, right? So that keeps happening throughout high school. But in college, like, they don't have control over you if you're not there.
And then you're living two lives.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys live two lives, and it blows my mind.
Yeah, it is difficult because, like, going from, like, one extreme to, like, another extreme, like, full independence, you're around, like, mostly, like, you know, like, everyone's kind of American. Or most people are American, right? It's difficult to balance. Like, I would say, like, there's a few pathways that people go into. Let me go into them?
Yes.
Okay, so, like, one of them is, like...
Get a little bit closer.
Okay. One of them is, like, the extreme, like, oh, I have my freedom. I'm gonna, like, I can do whatever I want. And, like, that leads to a lot of bad choices. A lot of partying. Yeah. A lot of drinking.
if you're listening, he was pointing to himself.
So, that's, like, one path. The other path is, like, kind of staying, like, very traditional still. And, like... That's cool, but, like, I feel like it's not, like, it doesn't fit super into the college persona, like, personality. You know, like, you kind of, like, don't really get the full experience if you do that. I know, like, people who, like, go home every weekend and, like, you know, don't really, like, want, like, close friends outside of their culture and all that.
And that's how the parents usually want it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, like, they're kind of, like, controlling them, like, oh, like. When you talk about your friends, like, they're going to get happy if like you say, oh, you have like Punjabi friends, right? Like, yeah. Like, oh, they're already, they put on like, oh, they're probably so nice.
They're, you know, studying,
they're
so for good. Fun.
They're studying, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like that. Yeah, and then like the other path is kind of like just like confusion of like where they are in society, like in American society, because they're still, and like that a lot of time like turns into like drug abuse, I would say. Mm-hmm. Like to try
the in between,
like,
of not knowing where you,
yeah,
fit in.
Exactly. Like it would lead to like this anxiety, this depression, and then like the coping mechanism a lot of time is like substances. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Dang. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you really, it's two different worlds. That's the most fascinating thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you live your own life at college and then you come home and then you have a curfew. You can only eat together as a family. Mm-hmm. If you're with your friends, you're like to them out in the streets. Like, what are,
yeah,
you doing?
Yeah.
So it's like very interesting. The mm-hmm. interesting thing to me is also when it comes to relationships.
Mm, yeah.
Because each, well, depending on how cultured the parents are, mm-hmm. they kind of expect you to get with someone within the culture.
Yeah. For sure.
So when one doesn't, mm-hmm. do you think like majority of the time, let's say you get with a white girl,
uh-huh.
do you do that because you love her and you want to see where it goes,
mm.
but deep down you know that like you're gonna have to part ways, or you do that because like I'm ready to part ways from the culture, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I feel like that's really like dependent, situational, like on the person, on the family, and then also like, where they are in life. Like, maybe, like, say, like, high school versus college.
Mm-hmm.
And then, say, a career. Like, after college, you're more likely to be looking for, like, a mate, like, a partner.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that. And college is kind of, like, in between, you know, like, oh, I'm just having fun.
Yeah.
It's not going to go anywhere. Yeah, marriage, like, is really tricky. And even relationships. Like, growing up, like, you couldn't even talk about girls. Like, I could never talk about girls with my family.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, my mom would give me the evil eye instantly.
Can you now?
Now, so I do have a girlfriend right now,
mm-hmm.
and
shout out Amaya.
And I talk about her to them, but she is also Punjabi, so I think that's why I felt like even comfortable doing that, because I knew like she was Punjabi.
Mm. When you met her, did you know she was Punjabi?
I could like when I was in the moment, looking back, I didn't, but like looking back at it, I was like, I could see how. But, like, I thought she was, like, Mexican. Mm-hmm. And she gets that so much.
Yeah, I can see that, too. Like, a mixed
yeah.
exotic Latina or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Caribbean or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it's so funny. Because yeah. a lot of my friends, like when I tell them they're Indian, she's Indian, they're like, oh, what? I thought she was, like, Mexican or something. That's a little joke we have. But if she wasn't Punjabi, definitely would not have told my parents. Yeah, it just, like, doesn't... Like the first question that they asked when I told them I have a girlfriend was, oh, is she Punjabi? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, if she's not, then, like, I don't think they'd really even want to know. Or at least, like, I wouldn't want them to know, because it's just going to cause them, like, this unnecessary, like, thinking about, oh, my son's going to marry a non-Punjabi and all that.
What do you think their biggest fear is?
Their biggest fear, I'd say, is perception from, like, from others. Like, that's a big thing about, like, because all immigrants, right, they all came here to like work and grow,
mm-hmm.
and like a lot of that, like, that kind of led to like this competitiveness that's like masked in a bunch of things. But it's like they want to look like a good family to others, and like obviously everyone does, but this is like they change, like the way of thinking like stems from like their like perception of others from others.
Yeah, dang, that's really crazy.
Yeah.
Do you think that your generation, like you and your siblings, are going to be the first ones to break away from that?
Yeah, from that specifically?
Like,
or in more general?
I'd say, like, so you guys are very mindful of the perception. And I think that we all are in our own way about different things. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, mine wouldn't be culture, it would be religion. Mm. More so to make sure I'm hitting the mark, and because I align with it, it's just like sometimes I express more than what's proper.
Yeah.
So for you guys, it's like you're all living in your truth, but there's like a certain perception that you live up to for your parents. Mm-hmm. Just like yeah, she's Punjabi, like, what's up? Yeah. I can talk to you about it now. Yeah. But if she weren't, would you lie or would you not tell them? You know, there's like a perception. But, you know, your siblings, your cousins, you guys have the choice because you are more saturated with the American culture where you can be like, well, I want you to stay within the culture because, like, that's, you know, we are so unified in our culture.
Yeah.
But if you're not, like, I still want you to be open and talk about it.
Exactly. That's
it's the perfect, your generation.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It is. Because we grew up, like, from both sides instead of just from one side. We can see, like, the issues from both. And we can see, like, the benefits from both. And, like, the goal is to, like maximize the benefits, right? Like,
yes.
Like, in the way, like, you... like approach other people, other situations when you have kids, like you said, like find a good, like I'd like to keep the culture alive because culture is like dying, you know, like in a lot of places, especially America, like people come in, like, and then as they get generations go down and down, like culture dilutes. So I totally understand that, like, they want to keep in the culture, but like forcing anyone to do anything is like not the best move, like ever really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird though, because, like, it's also though, like, there's, when it comes to relationships and love, there's certain aspects of predictability that do matter, that are important. And one of them being, like, you want to make sure that they're financially in a good place. You know, you want to make sure that they have the same cultural principles, not because it's like, we're better. Maybe that's the case for some cultures, but it's like, because we know how to handle each other. Like, you know how the family dynamics are going to be. You know how, like, to cook that kind of food.
Yeah.
It, you're right. It's to be preserved. Culture should be preserved. If you marry into the next culture, you either preserve the 25% you have or, like, learn this new culture. Because, like, I think that even white people, they are a culture. Like, whether it's Swedish or Norwegian, it's good to hold on to substance that sets you apart and can, like, maintain certain values. We all need that.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, how, like, when two people get married of different cultures, like, a lot of time, like, one of them, like, ends up taking over, like, when it comes to the kids, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, like, that's a decision that obviously, like, anyone's, like, any couple's entitled to. But it's just a little, like... upset, like, it makes me a little sad. It's like, why does, like, one culture, like, why is only that one gonna be passed down to your generations?
That's, you know? True.
It's like, both, like you said, every culture has its, like, uniqueness.
Yeah.
And, like, its benefits, and with that comes its drawbacks. But if you, like, you can properly expose your kids to it, and at least, like, let them choose, you know, like, expose both of them as they grow up, and if they have an affinity for one, then that's their choice.
Yeah. That's like for with our family, we have three different ethnicities, Mexican, Filipino, and Guamanian. And it seems like we all kind of hype up being Chamorro, being like the Guam pride. Like we have all the clothes. We rep it. Like I rep it a lot more than like my siblings maybe. But now I'm learning how to embrace that Mexican side and like trying to learn more Spanish, listen to Mexican music, you know, like I take pride in it so much more, but then I'm like, shoot, I need to hop into the Filipino culture.
Yeah.
Cause like I'm Filipino. So I need to like, cause I think it's so important. I want to adopt it all. I want to be all of them, not just one of them and forget the other. And yeah. And if I were white, I would embrace like, oh, I'm going to Sweden. Cause I'm that kind of like I have that 15% 10% that's me, you know. Culture keeps us spicy.
Isn't it so much more exciting that like you're choosing to get more into it versus like your parents like, oh, like you're part this, like learn all this. It's way more exciting, like, oh, like I want to get into this and learn more and all that.
Yeah, I think, take the good. It's not the all the discipline and harsh stuff.
Like I recently found like my own pathway to Sikhism, which is my religion. I don't know why I looked at the camera.
My religion, guys. That's my religion.
And like I kind of like rejected it for a lot of my life because, like I said, it was poorly portrayed to me in a way, and it was in a way that like I was like nah, you're taking away from like my freedoms. Like that's my American side. You're taking away from the freedoms I have as a person.
Yeah.
But like the past few years, I kind of like. So I'm kind of, like, spiritual. I like to, like, learn from different religions. And, like you said, like, there's, like, things you can learn from everything.
Yeah.
Like,
can you go into Sikhism and, like, what that means to you and what it is?
Yeah. So, the main, like, our main symbol of Sikhism, it's Ikum God, which I actually got tattooed on my hand.
If you zoom in, you'll see the mark.
It's a little bloody right now. But you guys can look it up. It's I-K space O-N-K-A-R. It means one God. I think it embodies Sikhism pretty well. Mm-hmm. There's one supreme being, or at least a supreme reality. And Sikhism's really cool because it
closer.
Yeah, sorry. Let me think for a second. It allows for everyone to be right at the same time, which I think is really unique. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to religions, a lot of religions are this is our religion. If you don't follow it, you're going to hell or something, right? Mm-hmm. Sikhism's really cool because it says, if you are a devout follower, of Islam or Christianity or whichever religion, and you follow it properly, then you can still, find peace and heaven. Mm-hmm. Which I think is really, really cool. And that's why, I'm spiritual, so I didn't really, sign to any religion, but, I've read books from them, and, I just take from it and add to my own mm-hmm. thing. But Sikhism's cool, because, when I, got into it, I was like, whoa, this is kind of spiritual. It's, a pretty spiritual religion, you know?
Yeah.
And on top of that, it's, a warrior religion, which is really cool, too. So Sikhs, they have, the 5Ks, which are, things, they have on them. Mm-hmm. And one of them is, a little sword. And
dang, that's cool.
Yeah. So, if you see Sikhs, in the Khalsa, which is, the segment of Sikhism that is, the warrior mm-hmm. Session kind of, if you're in that, you'll see with the turban
that would be then, church.
Yeah So Sikhism, it kind of was an offspring of Hinduism plus bad times. People were we want a religion that, you know, says love and is fair, pretty much.
That's
right?
Sikhism.
Yeah. So, this guy who's, kind of Hindu, he created Sikhism. It's, this little community. And if you entered it, you, lost your last name, which is really cool. Because, last names were based on your caste, right? Whoa. Yeah. So, if you were last name, people kind of tell where you were in society.
What did you say your last name was?
Pabla. Pabla. So, Pabla is a family name. My middle name is Singh, which is...
Why is Annie's last name Carr?
Yeah. So, a lot of people ask that. I think that's just, a family choice.
No way.
Yeah, I think, certain... So, okay, so let me, get into what I was saying before, because it kind of ties in. So when you joined the Khalsa, or, you know, the Sikh community, mm-hmm. you lost your last name, right? And then you gained... For men, they gained Singh as their last name, which means lion. And the women gained Kaur, which is means princess.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so it kind of, made everyone equal. You know, even, the rich people, they became equal to everyone else. So, so my middle name is Singh, and my last name is Pabla, and then Annie's last name is Kaur.
What's your mom's last name?
Kaur.
Your dad?
Singh. Yeah.
This is actually really interesting. Yeah. I did not expect that. That's yeah, really
so
cool.
It's like, I guess if it was strictly followed, my last name would be Singh. But it's my middle name, so I guess they just wanted to continue, the family name, mm-hmm. Somewhere in my name, you know?
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, let's switch gears. Let's talk elevated consciousness.
Okay.
So, literally from the first time I met you, I feel like we got, super deep. Mm-hmm. Me and Annie, we warmed up to each other. We had mm-hmm. our little coffee time, and I just, said some stuff, and she could keep up. And they're mm-hmm. oh, okay, we could deep talk. But you're already in that zone.
This is our coffee time.
This
our
is talks the first is time having coffee. Yeah, no. You are a very deep thinker. Mm-hmm. Where do you think Thank that you. Came from? Because, you know, you either go through life, you have a certain mm-hmm. experience, or your brain is just wired to be constantly, questioning existence, mm-hmm. questioning life experience. So where did mm-hmm. that come from for you, and what is your observations?
Okay, I feel like I was always kind of like that, but I didn't embody it mm-hmm. because I didn't okay, so there's me, how I am, and there's this image that I had to like portray, right? And I failed to portray that, so I wasn't comfortable like being confident in my own persona. So I feel like I've always been like that, but I never really like explored it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, like this is like, you know, bad, like it's not good. I need to strive for something else. So I kinda like didn't really like think too much about like the thoughts I had. I kinda like just distracted myself. For me it was like video games. Like I kinda just stayed in video games. And then once I got to college, I kinda went haywire for a bit.
Why?
I got like this bunch of freedom and I like to have fun. And
so that usually always happens if you grew up in a strict environment, the first taste of freedom you'll get, you'll indulge until you're like indulge. All right, I get why there was some walls up.
Exactly. And then so after like a year of that, I was like, dang, like I'm not like my trajectory is like not going up right now. I'm just kind of like staying still, going down. So then like I reevaluated like life. And I like kind of stopped that for a bit, and I kind of like try to find my new thing that like my new fun, you know, instead of like going out and stuff. What do I like to do? That's when I started like really, like getting into like video, like podcasts, YouTube videos, articles, like Reddit, all that, and like learning more about things. And the more I did that, I was like, I would have these like very cool thoughts about the things I read. I was like, dang, like, this is really cool. Like, what if this, like, can tie into this, all that? Yeah. So, I think, like, from there, about, like, 3 years ago, maybe four, I really started, like, loving to learn things. And I think that's, like, really led me to, like, be the person I am right now.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
That's super cool. It's crazy. You can, that's, like, when you kind of didn't have to learn forcefully. That's when you finally had the choice to learn. Yeah. And that's the other thing. Things are so different if you choose it versus if someone enforces it on you, just like the culture. If you get the freedom to choose it, there's like this deeper fascination. Yeah, you're like, you want a little bit more because you do it for you.
Yeah.
But as a parent, I think it's good to enforce things. Otherwise, like, kids won't usually choose something hard to begin with or different.
Yeah, yeah, that's true for most people. I'm like, when I always think about like when I have kids, how I'm going to raise them.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I'm excited to be a dad and, like, you know, impart what I know to my kid. So, like, I really want them to, like, I want to raise them in a way that they seek out, like, challenges to find interesting, you know?
Yeah.
I haven't thought about how to do that really yet. But it's probably, like, exposure to many things. You know, gotta play the Mozart, you know, when they're in the baby, you know, in the womb and all that. Gotta do everything you can, you know?
That stuff does help, though, I've heard.
Ah, does it?
Yeah.
I haven't looked too much into it.
Or, like... Okay. Like how you talk to the belly, you know?
Oh, okay, like, okay. Yeah, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. So
podcast. Yeah. Put the headphones on her belly.
The Elevate Today podcast.
Yes. Yes, that means I had to keep it clean. That's super cool.
Yeah, so yeah.
What's one of the books that elevated your consciousness?
Okay. So like I'm gonna hate on self-help books real quick. Not hate, but like I'm giving my opinion on it. So I was super into them at the start of like, say, like 3-4 years ago. And then they just got so like, they all kind of like said similar things in different ways.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, look, I already get it. It's a lot of repeating things because it's like they're trying to give general advice for everybody. Yes. Right. And that's hard when you're trying to be specific because they're trying to be specific, but also general. And this is like, it's hard to apply it to real life. Like, that's why philosophy is really cool. Cause like, you can have a statement of philosophy that's super general. And you can like, try to put in like your own life into it and get something out of it, right?
That's so true.
Yeah, so one of the books that did that for me was The Alchemist. I recommend, this book to a lot of my friends. It's really good. It's... I got really bored of the just straight information dumping into books. So I've always been like a reader of like fiction. So I like magic and all that.
1984?
Yeah. That one's a good book too. I recommend that one. Those are like, those books are really good to like give you a, like to give you a different perspective of history. Like, you know, like we like we are where we are because of like the past.
Yes.
And the past could have gone different. One thing could have gone different, and we could be in a world like 1984.
So that's my mission. To prevent 1984 from happening.
Yeah.
We are so freaking close because of the fact that we can't think of our own thoughts. We can't ask questions. We're not aware because we're so distracted and there's like so many things coming at us and we're told, this is truth. If you think this way, no one's going to like you. If you say this, you're going to get canceled. Mm-hmm. But that's like something I think you and I understand are just like, I'm going to question what I want to question. I'm going to say what I want to say.
Yeah.
Like, this is my journey of understanding and learning. But, like, I do think we're pretty close to 1984 days.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, we can say love. We can express. But what are the things we can't express? Those are the things I like to talk about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah, we are definitely gearing towards it. But also, I see, like this, like, human raising of consciousness as well recently. Maybe it's always kind of been there, but now I've, like, been aware of it. Like, we were talking earlier about music. I think that's a really big factor because many people listen to music. And, like, say for hip-hop specifically, like, a decade ago, maybe, and, like, more, maybe even, like, 5 years ago, a lot of it was about, like, sex, drugs, and, like, women, right? And now it's, like, really about, like, self-love, compassion, like, improving yourself, and all that. I think that's a really, like, powerful shift that happened. Because, I don't know, like, a lot of people listen to music, and, like, what you hear is, like, that's what kind of, like, can go into your mind, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good shift. And, like, I think a lot of people are becoming more aware of the problems in the world. And, yeah, that's a good thing. But it's just hard because, like, to have, like, a mass group, like, enact change is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's where, like, individuals are going to get aware of it. And those individuals need to get into positions of power. But that's how it's difficult. Because once you get into power, like, you could become trapped in it.
Yes.
And become, like, the people who you're trying to get rid of. And I think that's a really, like, common thing that happens.
Yeah, and often the one that knows better wants to stay away from the harm in the world. Mm-hmm. Or not stay away from the harm, but they know the system is so corrupt that they're like, I'm going to speak my truth to my people.
Yeah.
My own little circle, my own little tribe. Because it, like, sometimes having authority is, you're right, you get lost in the power, you get lost in the game, in the how you, you're all of a sudden seeking people's approval when you're no longer doing what you came there to do, but trying to get majority to like you.
Yeah.
And majorities, it's always difficult to function with that.
It is. It's like certain people like find their way to do that. But it is really difficult. And once you get bigger and bigger, you enter into the realm of like the institutions and like you have to go through that stuff to like, you know, make it out on top, right?
Yeah.
And like a lot of people don't like make it out and it sucks.
That's so true. And that's why when I think about, like, people that are more, like, known figures of society, you may know who I'm talking about without saying their name. Like, I support them for reasons of, oh, I like the values and morals that they're preaching, even though they have these darker sides to them, because we do have good and bad in us. But sometimes the bad is what gives someone fame, is what gives them the ability to be heard. Like, even just the fact that, like, the more controversial you are, the more people can have like a finger point at you because they disagree. That's more publicity. So it's like like there's two sides to it where in order to make it big you have to do a little bit of bad to let good be seen. And that's just this crazy world we live in, and that's why it's like stay away from power unless you know what you're getting yourself into. Like go in with the mission and do that because other ugly stuff is gonna come with it.
100% Add on to that, like the idolization of like figures, like celebrities, is like really fascinating to me. Like you said, like those, like those are like the controversial characters, and then there's like for most of them, like it's like this like image of goodness, and if they break away from that for like even a little bit, like they kind of just get like demolished, you know, because you're supposed to be this figure that people look up to, and like you're supposed to like embody certain characteristics and like show that, portray them. But if you don't, like you just get blasted.
No,
like,
they're still so
human, like, you know, like come on.
Yeah, they really like think that they're just these poets all the time that are living this perfect life. Like the more perfect they are, the less I like them. the more predictable, the more and that's often the more controlled, like these well-loved celebrities. I'm like,
that's not who they are.
They can't turn on a microphone and speak their mind, because their voice is paid for.
Yeah,
they have a manager that says you can't say this unless I let you. I own your name. Britney Spears, for example. Like, an example of this is, like, with Kanye West. As soon as people started hating him, I was just like, what's going on in this guy's head? And then all of a sudden, he has so much to say. And I find so much fascination in him, because, like, if everyone hates him, that means he's doing something different. That means he owns his voice again.
Yeah.
Because they want people to hate the people that stray away from their predicted expression. It's very interesting to me.
Something interesting I read about Kanye is that, well, I guess his name is now Ye. is that, like, there's a video of him, like, explaining how he, like, purposely did everything he did. Like, he purposely, like, said the things he did, say, on Twitter, on media, to arouse, like, this, like, controversy. And that led, like, the labels he was stuck to drop him. And he was saying, like, never has anyone, like, calculated to the point where all the things that he's tied to dropped on their own. And I was like, like, you're saying he now is free. Like, he had certain contracts with companies that, like, were limiting him in expressing himself or doing what he wants. And he did this little controversy campaign, and it worked. They all dropped him, and he got out of contracts that he wasn't able to get out of.
Yeah.
I think that's so smart. That's, like, that's so, so crazy. Cool. Yeah.
And like, the predictable perspective is, how dare he say that? How dare he do this? But what is he really doing? No one's that stupid to lose like $1 million for expressing oneself. He, like, he warned people.
He was
like, I'm going to say something tomorrow. I was listening to Dave Chappelle, who was like, telling the story of what happened with Kanye, and he just did it and lost his some sort of deal. But it's there's nothing greater than being a free soul.
Yeah,
a free soul. Nothing related to money, nothing related to power, but, like, your soul.
That's the most difficult to be expressed thing to have.
And people die without, like, with your soul being trapped inside of you.
Like, kids are, like, free souls. That's why kids really are, like, the, like, treasure of life.
Yes.
Right? And as they grow up, like, little pieces of it get, you know, taken, which is, like, normal, I'd say, because, like, you know, to be into a society, you have to give up, like, your individualism, like, for at least a little part of it. But, like, it just takes all of it one by one. You have school, and then you have, like, work, and you have, like, responsibilities, like, family and whatnot. But by then, your, like, soul is so taken that, like, it, like, you're not even free enough to, like, raise your children how you really want them to. And it's unfortunate. Yeah,
that's so sad.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone faces this reality shift where you're exposed to corruption. But the hardest thing about that is the fact that, like, at what age?
Yeah.
At what age does your eyes get open to the brokenness of the world? Because usually you see it and you don't know that it's so bad, you know? You know, maybe you see, you're just like, okay. Or you look at it and you're like, that doesn't seem right. But just, but then eventually you know it's wrong.
Yeah.
And that's the moment where, like, I guess maybe a child first faced an opportunity, experienced trauma. Or they just realize, oh, this isn't, like, this is not fun. This isn't, this game isn't safe. This life isn't just all playful. That's why, like, a thing a parent can do is really shelter their kids till they're old enough, because, like, that's such a rare window of time where you see life in this world as, like, a peaceful place that it can be, but it's not.
Yeah.
That's why awareness is the only way you can actually be free, is to know the corruption, but, like, drop your shoulders and know, like, since I know that it's corruption, I am somewhat free. I'm not in it. I'm not part of it. I don't want to be consumed by it. I know it's there, therefore I'm free.
I disagree with you a little bit at the, like, sheltering when they're growing up. I feel like they shouldn't be sheltered, because, like,
define sheltered.
Hmm?
Define sheltered
as in, like, prevention from, like, experiences that aren't what the parents want. Like, so for me, like, we were sheltered. And then I kind of, like, when I went to college, that's kind of when I, you know, was made aware of things that I kind of experienced, but wasn't fully in it to be able to, like, take it in. But, like, I feel like sheltering, it limits, like, your it limits your worldview, and then when something bad does happen, you're not prepared for it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like being not sheltered but having like the freedom really allows you, because like the world isn't like a peaceful place. You can learn that at some point. Mm-hmm. And if you learn it young, you're more able to adjust to that. Like you're more able to filter, you have more time to filter it out.
Yeah.
And like kind of keep your own persona, because as a kid it's kind of like you don't have like these as much ideas in your head from society as like a teenager does, right?
Yeah.
So something like that happens to a teenager, they kind of have like certain like a few responses that they like kind of like can pick from. But a kid is kind of like, oh, like that's scary, that's tough, and then kind of continue being a kid. Like a lot of kids like don't get into like this existential thing like when they're young, right?
True.
So it's kind of like if they're exposed to it and they know it, but they continue living their way, mm-hmm. and like they continue living the, that helps them like keep living their own way as they grow up, while still knowing that like the world isn't like this like heaven, you know.
That's true. But see, I feel like as soon as you know it's not a heaven, you kind of like start to live differently. Like I grew up homeschooled. There's no more sheltered you get than me.
Mm-hmm.
My friends were my cousins,
mm-hmm.
and my sister and my aunties, and it was a really peaceful, really playful.
Mm-hmm.
But I like when I was a kid, I was in eighth grade, like younger than eighth grade, before mm-hmm. high school. I really believed in love. I super believed in love, and I still do. But like I was listening to Frank Sinatra, all these mm-hmm. old fashioned stories. I just got lost in love movies. I would cry when I'd watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to high school and you realize, like, things are different, and you yeah. have a crush on someone, and then you get a boyfriend, and then you just thought it was just going to be this beautiful thing, and it's not, mm-hmm. and then you grow cold.
Yeah, but
you're right, because what if I just knew that people don't stay together, people cheat, mm-hmm. but maybe one day you'll find your person, it'll be special, because that's just like
exactly like yeah. A lot of people I feel like want like the angle without going through the steps. I really feel like there's like, you should experience heartbreak. You should experience negative things. Because then, if you only experience the good, then you don't really know how good the good is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you need the bad to compare it to the good. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, like, say with the heartbreak. Like, yeah, like, you're, like, you break up. It's like, oh, he just wasn't the one. You know, like, I still have time in my life to, like, find more people. And I just have to trust that I'll find them.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, being the... That's why having this awareness of, like, the dynamics and, like, the little plays of life just helps you, like... A lot of people get, like, lost in the sauce.
Okay.
So they get lost in, like, certain things that happen to them, or certain things, like... Yeah, they get lost in certain things, and they kind of, like, keep spiraling down from the same thing mm-hmm. to more and more. But, like, you can get out of it. I know it's like there's a lot of factors to it, but like staying stuck in one moment of your life, like I don't know, you still have your whole life, like
yeah.
things can turn around if you want them to. A lot of people don't want them to though. A lot of people find comfort in their own demise, honestly, because it forces them. Sorry, it makes them not have to do anything about it.
Yeah, you know? That's so true.
Which is difficult. It's difficult to do the digging. And, you know, because once you get out of it, you're like, oh, like, who am I now? I guess it kind of goes down to, like, this identity thing. Like, in America, like, people really want to have an identity.
Mm-hmm.
Especially an identity that other people have, too. And I think, like, that has definitely led to, like, people kind of staying stuck in certain things versus... like wanting to get out, because I have people like they have this identity and the people around them like that, and they all kind of just keep reinforcing each other and keeping each other in the identity
yeah.
instead of like being like, oh, like let's get out of this, like, and like no one can really solve anything for you because mm-hmm. only you know your own thoughts about certain things.
Yeah, That's true.
Yeah.
I think anything that can identify you is something you shouldn't let identify you.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Even the good things, mm-hmm. and people even find peace with identifying by the bad things.
Yeah.
But like, if you're an amazing athlete, mm-hmm. a Taekwondo athlete, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you hurt your ankle and you can't do competitions anymore, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you have an identity crisis. You were never supposed to find your identity so much in this thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, the more you find your identity in something, the mm-hmm. more it has control over you, and the more you can lose yourself. Like, mm-hmm. we should be using words like you and I, like, mm-hmm. you are a soul, you are a spirit, you are an infinite being meant to express and experience. This sport was a fun experience, and I'm glad it took this whole season of my life. Mm-hmm. I am an active being, you know?
Yeah.
Because getting into different things, I've realized, like, certain things have identified me. Mm-hmm. But I don't want it to be who I am. Not because it's not a good thing, but because it's just not how we're supposed to live.
It is why you are... Like, you don't need to say, like be identified by something. Because like, it's the reason why you are you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a part of it, at least.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like you're kind of giving it more power. Mm-hmm. You're taking away like your own soul, like power, and putting it into like this one tool that you came across.
Mm-hmm. You know, because we're supposed to change and evolve too.
Yeah,
like we need to do things that welcome change, that welcome, I'm not that person anymore. Mm-hmm. This doesn't matter. That's not a bad thing. We were meant to change. When people say, like, always be yourself.
Yeah.
Who is yourself? Because once you know, tell me, and I will be that. Because, like,
I mean, what they're saying is true, but it's like, to figure out yourself is the challenge.
Yes.
Like, you know.
Do you think that you and I process things like others?
Because
if Annie were here, mm-hmm. she'd be like, "Oh my gosh! Like, you guys lost me like 30 minutes ago."
Yeah, but like, so like, certain people like are kind of like born with this certain type of like mindset,
spiral thinking, deep thinking.
It's like anxiety, right? But then like
anxiety,
it's literally just anxiety.
It's just,
but like, it plays out in different ways. Some people, they have anxiety about existential things, which is kind of more like us. Some people have anxiety about how they look and all that. So it like, it can like stem out into multiple things. But I feel like a lot of it, you can like, actually, I don't know. This is interesting. Do you think it's more like learned? It's a learned thing, or more of kind of like how you were born, or at least raised, I guess. Well, not even raised. Like, I don't think.
I think it's a born thing.
Born.
Because we both got three siblings,
mm-hmm.
and we all think very differently. You know.
Yeah.
And I think certain experiences could cause us to to be more. To think a certain way, to be predictable, but mm-hmm. like you, your parents, they're not super deep thinkers, right?
Mm-mm.
Or at least expressers.
Yeah,
you can express what you think.
Expressing is the main thing.
Yeah, like if I don't let out what's going on in my head, I mm-hmm. feel so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like I'll talk to a stranger, I'll talk to anyone just to like think these things out and see if I'm the only one thinking like this, if I'm mm-hmm. like actually crazy, or if like my, you know, I have to let it out.
Yeah.
But I think that goes back to like, there's going to be different roles in the world and society, just like divergent. Mm-hmm. There's going to be the people that are very simple. They just do the task and mm-hmm. contribute to society in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. There's mm-hmm. people that are in their head and feel like obligated to solve the world's problems through thinking it out and expressing it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's just this urgency behind their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met people like that. And that's how you and I are. Like, our thoughts are like, what if? Like, but most people. And then there's others where like, they're just so zoned in on their own thing where they can like just have peace with the world. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'll never have a certain kind of peace because I will never stop analyzing.
Yeah. And to do that, you had to kind of like completely dissociate yourself from society and like live this kind of like lifestyle that's really like in tune with like Earth, you know? With like nature,
mm-hmm.
to like get away, because then like you're analyzing, you can analyze things like in nature, but it's more, I don't know, I feel like it's not as complicated. There's no nuance really. It's like, this is how it is, you know. And like, that's why like I'm like, I definitely want to at some point in my life like go like out into nature. It'd be cool. Like, I'd want to like be under, like, learn from a shaman. for like a year or two. Like, I want to do that. Like, I want to go have these experiences, like go in a dark cave and like meditate. Like, that's one of the things I'm going to do.
Do you know,
like,
who Aubrey Marcus is?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, yeah. I feel like you'd so go to one of his things, because I did a podcast with someone who did his, who like was part of his community, Fit for Service community or something. And they did a whole experience together, like 2 weeks long or something. You'd so fit in and belong with them. I looked into his
stuff. I was like, you know what? Not yet. I need to like, I need to be in society for a bit longer before I start doing that stuff.
Before you never come back. Yeah, society's ways of do's and don'ts. And it's funny because once you see that there's such a predictable structure in with relationships, with finances, with socializing, like okay, I will play by the rules of society, it's almost like an act. And then you get out of it, whether it's through an experience or going to nature or finding other like-minded individuals. And it's like you can get lost in it, but it's like, 100%. Know the rules, know your relational dynamic with the people that you need to, you know, have relationships with, know how to socialize, have a proper status, have balance. Proper finances. But at the end of the day, you know, you'd rather like be in a beach just alone, dancing all weird.
100%. Like, but if you truly want to have an impact on the world, you kind of have to like learn to balance both things. Because like, you have to, like, it is what it is. Like, our society is what it is. You can try to change it, but to change it, you have to like go through it. And if you like reject that, then it's kind of like you're not going to make change, really.
That's why I like having a podcast, because I could learn from people in a proper way of playing by society's rules. I mean, I just want to get through the rules so I can stay away from them. And be free.
Escape more aware of you are.
And play by away from the rules with my little family, with my little tribe, where we just like don't follow the systematic thinking, predictability, and just be our own little tribe.
100%. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. Well, we're at a good mark, and the noise out there, I really hope doesn't catch on the podcast. Do you have any last thoughts that you want to share, a message to the listeners that could learn from you and the things you've learned the past years of elevated consciousness?
Yeah. Don't be afraid. Just don't be afraid to learn new things, to have experiences, to take steps in something you want to do. Like, everything really is, like, treat everything as a step versus a like a end goal, you know? Like, that's something I've been working on. Like, I have these big things I want to do, and then I would like start like working towards it, and then I'd like will give up. Oh, this is too impossible. I think something that you're really good at is like putting out steps into doing what you want. And that could be with anything. Like, say you want a relationship, like take steps and do like things that you think would help that happen. You know, like hygiene, working out and all that. If you want to start a job, like take steps like into learning before you even like start putting yourself out there, so you can be more prepared. Like, everything really is about being prepared for when the opportunity comes to you. Because there's opportunities everywhere, and one skill was being aware of the opportunities when they present themselves. Or also not present themselves, for you to go out and grab it, because it's in your like range of vision, it's in the range like your field. So like, always be aware and looking out for opportunities, I would say. Because I would like, if you're so like stuck in your own like life, you're not, you're gonna miss the things that are happening around you. And yeah, just be open-minded. Because the world is a lot more complicated than anyone can really comprehend. So that's like, so why is like your image of the world right? Like, it's not. You can only try to get closer and closer to this ideal that we'll never reach. But you just gotta get as close as you can and help other people get closer. That's really like the meaning of life, I would say. And like reach like this like state. Like, I think of like heaven and hell as like mind states. Like, if you're trapped in like certain ways of negative ways of thinking, say depression, all that, like you're in hell. Like, you're on hell in earth. Like, earth. And then if you're like loving, compassionate, then like you're on heaven on earth. Like, I think heaven, like if it was a paradise, I would say, like, then, like, what's the point of, like, existing? There's no challenges. You have what you want. Everything's bad. You're like, dang, this sucks. Like, mm-hmm. needs to be this neutral. Yeah. Needs to be this neutral zone where good and bad can happen.
Yeah.
And, like I said earlier, like, good is not just good. Good is, like, good defeating bad or evil. Mm-hmm. Right? That's how you get, like...
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was sick. Well,
thank you.
Thank you so much for coming mm-hmm. in. You're always more than welcome to come back mm-hmm. as you learn things and want to share them mm-hmm. If you believe it could help the people, which I always feel like you have, like, something yeah. on your heart that people could learn from, especially when it comes to those people that live in their minds. You mm-hmm. have a good understanding of the ways we think and mm-hmm. really especially speaking into people that have existential crises.
Yeah.
Finding that peace. So.
Yeah. Thank you, really
thank you for
me
coming
up.
On. No, yeah, for real. You're coming back on. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. Stay elevating. Have a beautiful, lovely day.
Mm-hmm.